Welcome back, everyone, to the C Show. It's your overpowered girl, Uchenna.
It's Chairway, as always.
And we are back with another episode, another dose of the good stuff. So, yeah, should we just go straight into the recommendation of the week?
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
What you
So, my
got? What you
recommendation.
got? What you got?
So, I've got Access Denied by Ray Black, the album. It's cute. It came out in 2021, but I've been revisiting like some of my old playlists, not playlists, old albums. There's also which other album have I listened? Queen of the Clouds by Tove Lo. Fantastic album.
Interesting. You know whose album
Yeah.
is really good? Victoria Monet. And Giveon's new album.
I
Oh
like
my
Victoria Monet's
God.
album. I haven't heard Giveon's album yet.
I think it dropped like 2 weeks ago or something. My goodness. It's a good album. Yeah. Any other recommendations?
I'm going to see my Netflix and what I've watched recently to recommend. Oh, Too Hot to Handle season 3. It's actually not that bad.
Really?
It's not, yeah, it's not that bad. They filmed it at the same time as season 2, so
Yeah.
no one knew what was happening. So it was filmed at apparently like two different islands at the same time, and then it just
Yeah,
dropped later.
and then like a few weeks or so later, they dropped the second one, but they didn't do much like thingy for it.
No, they didn't do much promo for it as they did with the second
Yeah,
one. No.
I don't
But
know.
yeah,
Is it really that good? Because I tried watching it, and I was like, "Nah, this lot is it's too much."
no, it does get like it starts off kind of slow. You think there's one guy I was like, you really are on the wrong show. I mean, you know, like there's some people like I'm like I get you as a person, but this ain't the show for you. Because the premise of Too Hot to Handle is like these like really hot, really horny guys, people go on a show and they're trying to show restraint, right?
You know
Or
who
they
needs
learn
to be
restraint.
on Too Hot to Handle? Freaking Dammy, that little dog.
Dammy. But yeah, but this guy
Dammy.
was just it was proper chilled, he was proper laid back. I mean, he liked the girls, but he wasn't moving on to the girls like some of the other men were. He was just like on like you know when a guy, no, I say
It the
this sounds so
Brazilian
sarcastic.
one?
Yeah, him.
Yeah. Remember, do you remember his VT? His VT was all like, "Oh, he's this, he's that, he's just this." But nah, he came in there and then went on Friendship Island.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Like even on the intro, the guy like they were like, "So what are you into?" And he was like, "I'm into a pure heart, a girl that likes the music and the stars." And everyone just looked at him and was like, what the
He needs to be on, what's the name of the other one? Love is Blind.
Yeah. So I just thought, like, okay, I get it. You're here for publicity. You're a model. You just want to get your name out there. But this really is not a show for you.
No, it ain't. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else other than love? What's this
Too
thing? Too hot to handle.
hot to handle. What else have I watched recently? I'm in the process of watching Franklin and Grace the last season.
Oh,
Season two.
okay. I'm trying to save myself heartbreak, and I'm leaving my heartbreak until later.
It starts off slow. I'm gonna say that. Yeah, it starts off slow,
I mean,
but it's a
you know,
calm
because
watch.
the last season is literally like part two of the season before, because they just,
Yeah.
yeah.
Just
So it's
yeah.
just the part two that I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's kind of slow, but it's fine. Like you just don't want to watch something like and not have to think about it that deeply. It's a good watch.
Okay, because it ends like in a nice way. It was just.
Pardon?
Have you seen the end? Like, I've gotten to the end yet?
Oh, I haven't got to the end yet, so I don't
Okay.
know what's going to happen.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. For me, I have quite a few recommendations. So, the first one is a book. It's called The Power by Naomi Alderman. It's basically about matriarchy.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, So basically, women started developing powers, and the world changes. So we don't live in a, like, the reality is a matriarchal, what, Jesus Christ, the word. Anyway, we rule basically in the, yeah, the world that this book is written in, and a man writes the book, and he writes the book about patriarchy, basically about men ruling, like, and stuff like that. So it's an interesting book because it's very, yeah, it really makes you think. I don't want to give too much away because I actually do want people to read this book. Naomi Alderman herself is a great writer. She wrote one of my favorite books of all time. Maybe not one of my greatest books of all time, but one of my top, should I say top 10? Top 20? Yeah. 20, top 20, what, top 20 books, called Disobedience. It's a good, it's a great book. It's a great, I was going to say film because it did make it into a film, but it's a great book about a relationship in the Orthodox Jewish community. Good book. Next one is Sapiens by, ooh, you know, the book that I recommended to you.
Yeah.
By Yuval Noah Harari. It's basically a book about, like, humankind, and also kind of looks into the future as well a little bit. But it's a good book. It's a good read. It teaches you about, like, the things that rule us, like how we came to be. And I don't know, it just makes you think about the world in a different way. And so if you're looking for, like, a, maybe not a self-help book, but a book that kind of helps you expand the way you see the world, it's a great, great book to read. My next recommendation is Vinland Saga. That's an anime. That's just, I don't know, it's a good watch. If you like revenge anime, fight scenes, yeah, Vikings, you'd love Vinland Saga. And the next thing is a series called The Good Fight. So I don't know if anyone knows of the series called The Good Wife. It's basically a spin-off of this. And it follows a law firm in Chicago. And they discuss a lot of important things like the pay gap. They talk about Trump. They talk about, like, this hidden society that's trying to take down, like, Trump, and, like, expose bad people. And yeah, it's a really interesting watch. It's kind of like Suit.
Oh, I like Suit.
Like, not imaginary. Well, it's a lot less imaginary. They talk about more, like, societal issues as well as, you know, having actual cases. And the love stories are nice as well. I think that is it from me in terms of recommendations. Shall we go into the reviews?
Into the reviews. Yes, yes. Into the
reviews. So what will you do?
So this week, I'm reviewing Bubble. It came out a while ago. It's a Netflix anime movie. Yeah. Let me actually get the synopsis out to read to you people. Bubble. So it says, gravity is broken, Tokyo is forsaken. She came from a bubble that overtook the city, a mysterious savior with the power to change everything. Well, that doesn't give anything away. Why? Like... I mean,
it's not really meant to, is it?
But it's not just, it's meant to, like, tell you a bit of the story. It didn't even give us, like, character names. It's just, like, a mysterious girl.
Like, even the trailer is literally that. They've explained the trailer. A mysterious girl who has some random powers comes to a city where only boys live. And yeah. there's some hidden shit behind, so watch it. That's what gets you to watch it.
Fair enough. Well, I watched it because I was told everything I watched is depressing and sad. And my humour was very dull. I don't know who said those words. But, you know, I heard it. I was like joking. But I was like, let me try something lighthearted for once then.
And so that's what you pick for lighthearted. You didn't pick a comedy.
Yeah.
You pick an anime.
No. I tried a comedy, right? I tried a comedy. The comedy I'm currently still watching. I listened to those words. Currently still watching. That's how much I'm trying so hard to watch this.
God. I'm sorry, what comedy are you watching?
It's a stand-up.
Oh, and stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I usually really do like stand-up comedy. But there's a new person I'm trying to, like, his name is Joel Kim. So it's comedy on it. Yeah, so I was watching this. And usually, I'm great with comedies, like, well, stand-up comedies in general, but not great with movies. But stand-up comedies, I'm good with them. But this one, I like the jokes, but it's just hard for me to get into it properly. I don't know if that's because I don't, like, the jokes aren't for me, or I'm just not as engaged because I'm not watching it as a
thing. Try the Dave Chappelle one.
I've watched those.
Okay.
Already. I'm going to revisit a joke I've already heard before. So that's why I was like, I'm going to try him because I haven't heard his jokes. Or I haven't heard his style of comedy.
You know who's good? What's his name? The one dating Kim. Maybe you should try his. I think he's got one on Netflix.
His boyfriend. What's his name again?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah.
And Davidson. This guy who's hosted SNL. What's his name? The guy from Big Mouth. Not Nick Kroll. The other one. God damn it. Nick Kroll's friend. John Mulaney. That's it. John Mulaney is another good one. He's really funny. But yeah, okay. Let's hear about this Bubbles then.
So Bubbles,
yeah, like, when you say Bubbles, it reminds me of like Powerpuff Girls Bubbles.
I love Powerpuff Girls, the original. I have to specify. Yes.
why are you being racist? Why are you being racist? The only difference is that there's a black girl. Wow. Yeah.
No, no, because there's like three versions of the Powerpuff Girls. I haven't seen the latest one, but I the second one, I was like, this really is not for me. And I was like, my childhood banged because of the original Powerpuff Girls. It did.
Yeah, but now you're actually an adult. It's not for you anymore.
Shut up. I think it was more the style of art that I didn't like than art. Because I watched the one episode, I was like, this art is not for me. Because you know when an animation can put you off from watching something, you just give up because you're just like...
Yeah, oh my god, that's so true. Like, the animations for, you know, Baki and Tensei something? Gashen something? I don't know. One of those is another fight one that irritated me so much. I don't like the art style. Like, they make their muscles, like, all up in your face and shit. And it's like, oh, I think that those type of animation, those should be the real shonen. Those should be the ones that's definitely for men, because women aren't loving them.
No, they're not.
It's like, it's actually you. But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Going back to Bubbles. So we have our two protagonists, Uta and Hibiki. Uta, if I can remember correctly, is the bubble. She was a bubble who became human, and Hibiki is a man, is a boy that Uta saves. So basically, the city is encaved in the bubble, and these children, I'm going to call them children because that's what they are doing like parkour. They have like parkour tournaments. And then one day, Hibiki is doing his tournament, and he falls into like the water, like, because half the city is encaved in water, like a lake or sea, mm-hmm. And he's drowning, and then Uta, in her bubble form, like gives, like I guess breathes into him. You know, like how you can share like breath, so the other person can like breathe in your oxygen.
Yeah.
So she does that and lifts Hibiki up and saves him. And then from that, because Uta has touched a human, she herself becomes human, like she takes on a human form. And then the parkour elements is not that really interesting, but they built their friendship from parkour. And they have heavy references to the little mermaid's storyline and how she is a human made of, like, she's, they make references to her to mean, like, obviously because she's a bubble, she's from a different world, and how eventually she's going to turn into foam. And at the end, she does turn into foam. And the storyline is basically the Tokyo Tower, which is at the center of where this whole lake is emerging from, or this series of waters coming from. That's where, like, Uta's sisters are. And they're trying to call Uta back to them and saying, if you do not come back, we're going to collapse this whole city in water, not just half of it. We're going to destroy this whole place. So Uta starts making her journey back to her sisters. Hibiki finds out and is like, no, don't go. We're going to find another way for you to stay here. And Uta's like, mate, let me business. Let me just go back. So Uta does go back. He vaguely tries to stop her. He almost dies. Uta saves her. And then at the end, after she's given her last breath to Hibiki because he almost died, she turns to foam. And that's the story. It's lighthearted, even though there's death in it. It is actually very lighthearted. So
the change he decided to make is just to change the format of what she watched. Just decided, oh, I just watched the same thing, but in anime.
No. Because this story is not about death. It's about friendship in China and saving people. Goodness. Did you not get that from my story? Well, it's not my story. Never story.
Whatever you say, Daki.
But yeah, no, it's about a friendship and how they build a friendship. Because in the story, it's referenced to how they make reference to Hibiki. He's very, like, he's hypersensitive. Like his senses are hypersensitive. And one of the most sensitive of his senses is hearing. Like, many things set him off. So he has his headphones on all the time, because just to minimize the noise that he's hearing.
Okay.
And then Uta sort of helps him overcome his fear of loud, like, of being around people, because when he's around people, obviously people are talking, people are doing whatever they need to do, and that used to annoy him, and because of that annoyed him, he used to isolate himself a lot. And Uta actually helped him overcome, not overcome being around people, but overcome the fear of loud things. Not fear of loud things, but make adjustments. Like, maybe, okay, so, like, because he's to do parkour as a team, he used to train by himself. But then by the end of the movie, like, you see him, like, training with his teammates and growing with them instead of being, like, a lone ranger, poverty sort of thing. And likewise to Uta, because she was a bubble before her, she wasn't human. She didn't understand. She didn't understand. So Hibiki taught her, like, well, not taught her, but, like, showed her some of the things. Like, he showed her places that he liked to visit, because it was, like, a memorial that he had secluded by himself. Remember his mum that passed away during when the bubble formed and it collapsed the whole city?
Mm.
And he took her there, and they both have a love for music. So he, you know, like those seashells that, like, sort like curved and have, like, sound of the sea in them. Well, not the sound, but you can hear the sea when you press it to your ear. So yeah. He gave, like, Uta one of those as a sign of friendship. And at the end, when Uta becomes a bubble, that shell remains and becomes the reminder of their friendship. And the sound reminds him, like, to be calm in situations of around being around other people. So, see? Friendship.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. All right, that sounds like a nice watch. Not for me, though, because I was going to watch it, but yeah, it's not for me.
No, it is actually very slow, because to begin with, I was like, I'm usually fine with, like, slow intros. Like, most K-dramas have slow intros. They build up to things.
But, yeah, but like, at the end of the first episode, you can, like, tell that, oh, this is gonna be good, or oh, not interested.
Yeah, but this one was slow. Well, parkour made it dynamic because parkour is a high intense sport itself. But the actual storyline itself is slow.
Yes, yeah, I hear that. Interesting. Okay, so what's your do you actually have any takeaway from this, by the way?
I don't really think this story has a takeaway, to be honest, because the themes of it are very like those themes have already been beforehand. Like we all know the importance of friendship. We all know having a support system.
How the power of friendship, yeah,
Yeah,
saves everything.
it's not a new theme that we haven't seen
Seen
beforehand.
before. Fair enough.
Yeah.
How's the animation? Was the animation good?
The actual animation is actually well done. It does have a lot of 2D, but it has a lot of 2D, but it has some elements of 3D at some points during the parkour. But yeah, it's the colors are fantastic.
I did notice that in the trailer as well. The colors looked really good.
Yeah. So yeah, the animation
Is
itself is
it a
fantastic.
Netflix original?
Yeah, it's a Netflix original. But I don't know who wrote the story because I don't think Netflix wrote the story themselves. I think they
Yeah,
might have bought
obviously.
the story from someone and did a series on it.
Okay, my review. So first and
Okay.
foremost, this is the first recording that we're doing since I got back from Rapid Nation. So let's break that down.
Afro Nation? I have to ask you, how was Afro Nation?
I mean, it's been like 3 weeks now, and
Did
like I have like insane FOMO. Not is it was it FOMO? But like take me back to
it
Sicily,
almost
to
because you've already
every
done it.
day. Yeah, but whatever it is, I want it back. Like I hate that I'm back here.
You
I like refuse to go to the
got
office
holiday
because like
blues.
I'm in withdrawals.
You're in
I
holiday
have.
blues, that's what it is.
It was so much fun. Like every day was a dream. Like it was so, like the holiday was holidaying.
What's your highlight to see on Afro Nation?
My highlight was Burna Boy for sure.
Was
And
it?
then, oh yeah, now, Burna Boy always gives the best performances. Like he's also live. Like he sings. There's
Was
like.
Davido in there? Davido? Yeah, Davido.
Davide doesn't always sing. He always has his own music playing in the background. Burna Boy does not. Like he's got backing singers. Like he's got like a live band. Wizkid does that sometimes, but he's not as good as Burna Boy. Even the vocals, like everything. Like you're feeling it right there in the moment. And like I don't know, you're just vibing with him. It's great, even though there were so many people there, it still felt somewhat like intimate
Not
because you're
as
singing the songs, like you know the songs. These are songs that have been with you, like Location, Last, especially Last right now, that's like insane. Like literally, he started it and then he was like, you know what, reload that thing, yeah. And he sang it again, like literally. He started like 20 or so minutes before we had like before one, which was when like the whole thing ended, and like the officials were going to shut the show down, but he just kept singing and he was like, yeah, they've given us more time, let's keep going. And I was like, yeah, like, it was so good, it was really good. I had a great time, and then obviously we stayed till after, and I ended up at Rolling Loud.
how was Rolling Loud?
It was okay. J. Cole was the highlight for me. Future was not the best, but it was
Did
okay.
he perform some of the songs from his new album? J. Cole's new album is actually fantastic.
It
It
is. It
really is.
really, really is. Yeah.
It's very raw.
Kendrick's is also really good, but his is obviously relatively newer than J. Cole's. Yeah. But I haven't actually listened to like. I've listened to a few songs. I haven't listened to the whole album of Kendrick, so I don't know. I saw Lil Something. There were so many Lils there, and I was like, okay, yeah. Like, that's cool. I mean, not really my thing, but yeah. Cool song, though. yeah, J. Cole was definitely the highlight for me, for sure. the story about how I ended up at Rolling Loud is a funny one. It's like, oh, do you guys want to go? And I was like, yeah. And they just gave us their wristbands. And it was like the gold one as well. I was like, oh, oh great.
Wow. Well, wow.
thank you. And see you. Bye-bye. So yeah, we walked, we went in. Literally when J. Cole was about to go on, I'd say everyone before J. Cole, I kind of missed. I didn't even know he was performing that day as well. So I guess because it kind of caught me by surprise. But yeah, it was really good. It was a really good time. I had so much fun. And by the way, a lot of people were saying that they preferred Afro Nation, which I completely get. Because like at the moment, Afro Nation or African music or Afrobeats and Amapiano and stuff, like that's what's reigning.
Yeah.
That's like pop music right now. So like if you don't have drill artists and you're having like a bunch of kids from the UK, it's not going to bang. Like they're not going to enjoy it. Like if you're bringing people like J. Cole, they do have a few like American artists, but that's the thing, they're American. But most of the people come in Brits. So, like, they listen to Central C and like, Tion Wayne and Nemo and Unnamed T and shit. And then you bring Lil Duval. And then they're like, what? There was this kid, though, Lil Techie. He was good, actually. His set was really good. I actually enjoyed the set. Surprisingly, I didn't know any of his songs, but like it sounded good, and a lot of people actually knew. But yeah, like we were in a taxi back, and they were like, "Oh, you Afro girlies, did you go to Afro Nation? It's better, it's better." I'm like, "You, Anna, that's right." Like basically, the locals preferred Afro Nation to Rolling Loud. And they also preferred the Afro Nation crowd to the Rolling Loud crowd, which is weird because the Rolling Loud crowd was a lot more than an Afro Nation crowd. And like every night.
Was it like much older or younger? It depends on the crowd.
Much for Rolling Loud, it was much, much younger. But for Afro Nation, it was a mix. Yeah, that's probably why.
That's probably why, because I'm not shading young people, but there'll be something else sometimes.
Like these Gen Zs. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Or these particular Gen Zs don't get it. So literally on the strip, right? Every single night, Afro Nation, it's like it's a struggle to like walk past the walk through the strip. It's insane. Like the energy, everything's buzzing. You can hear music from left and right. People are talking. People are smoking. People are like eating food, people are queuing, there's this club that everyone just was obsessed with, that they wanted to go to. The food was great as well, I'm not gonna lie to you. But yeah, that's my little Portugal / Afro Nation update for you there. A lot more happened probably, but we'll talk about it because I don't actually think we've talked about my Portugal holiday yet.
No, me and you haven't talked about your holiday yet.
Yeah, I don't actually think I've done like a debrief with anyone. I've just been wilding.
No, you haven't.
There because I miss it so much. Literally, the Airbnb that we're at, I just wanted to go back. It was perfect. Oh, it was so perfect. Anyway,
yeah.
What I'm going to be reviewing today, anyway, Jesus Christ, is the experience. The girlfriend what? Experience. The girl. You heard me.
Oh,
the
girlfriend okay. Experience.
It came out like 6 years.
I think that's not on Netflix. Like, I haven't seen this on my watch list. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't actually. I watched it on Prime, I think. But it's a great series. It's a fantastic series. So it follows this young woman who was studying law, I believe, at the time. She started working for a law firm. You know, normal career path, right? And she has an attraction with her boss, who's also a partner, and this guy's kind of a prick. And I think she's someone who's very sexual. She enjoys sex, right? And she was talking to a friend of hers that she made while she was like uni, and this girl always had, she was able to afford her classes, she always had the nice bags, like everything. So she asked her, like, what do you do? Like, one day they were just talking like at the cafeteria or something, and the girl was like, yeah, I'm like a, I see like this thing called Girlfriend Experience, I'll introduce you to this madam, and yeah, she'll have an interview. She likes you, you can start. If she doesn't, you know, you can find somewhere else and do your thing. And she considered it. She went for the interview with this madam, and everything went well. And she started seeing clients. Unfortunately, her work life and her work life collided, and it kind of came out. There was, so she started seeing this client. He was a little bit over the top. He was obsessed with her. He wanted to buy a house for her. He wanted to marry her. She was like, that's not what we're doing. And he was someone who like worked in tech, so he basically sent an email from her email at work, a video of her having sex with different people. And obviously she also had sex with her boss, you see, and he treated her like trash. And he was kind of trying to cover his own back so that it doesn't come out that they had sex, but he wasn't a client. Does that make sense? Because obviously people would think that he was a client. So it was, anyway, he was also a shit lawyer. And she got fired from her job, so she decided to do this whole girlfriend experience thing like full time. And her story also got leaked as well, like to the public, because of this guy too. So like the story kind of leaked, and one of her clients also kind of died, had a heart attack, and wanted to give her money, but she couldn't claim it because the name that she gave him and the name that he put on his will wasn't her real name. Does that make sense? And for her to be able to claim it,
she can't claim it.
Yes, she would have to come out to say that she is a cool girl, which I don't know, she wasn't really sure that she wanted to do. So anyway, she signed like an NDA thing with the guy's family because they didn't want it to come out. Probably got like, she got less money than she was meant to. I think she was meant to get like 20 million or whatever, but she wasn't able to. So like, the money is mine. But anyway, the I guess it ends with her actually claiming she no longer used the madam. She hired someone for security. She claimed back her, I guess, independence of sorts and started doing it on her own. Obviously, that way she was able to get more money for herself. And yeah, she just became her own boss and was doing her own thing at the end. So that's the end of season one. Season two wasn't really my thing. I'm going to try and watch season two of The Girlfriend Experience because it's very different. I think they brought in like politicians got involved. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to put myself through that right now. But the series is not too long, I want to say, but it's a really good watch. It's a slow one as well. So if you're looking for excitement, yeah, you're not going to find it here. But it's very, it brings you down to earth, I think. It also reminds you that inequality really is a thing for women. Anyway, and like, hypocrites are wild. And yeah, because it's funny that the men and the people who will judge you are also the ones who probably are doing worse things behind your back, and all you're doing is just having sex with people and getting paid for it. I guess that's a moral conversation that people are going to have on like if it's a positive or a negative thing.
Yeah.
But obviously, okay, to me personally, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. I do think you need the rules to protect yourself, especially in the type of world that we're living right now. But she's not hurting anybody. you know? So I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing, but obviously society thinks so. And there's always this shame around, like, that you, apparently you're meant to feel as a sex worker or whatever. And I really don't subscribe to that at all. But that is a conversation for another time. But yeah, that's my little debrief or breakdown of the Garber experience. If you'd like to watch it, you should. I haven't given too much away because a lot more actually happens to this particular character than what I've just said. And she goes through like an insane personal growth. She was very selfish, and even at the end, she was still selfish. But for some reason, it just seemed acceptable now, her selfishness. Like, she never really changed. Or she never really grew to like, oh, be like, oh, what I did was wrong. No, there was none of that, which I loved. She was like, yeah, I did what I did because I wanted to do it and I liked it. And I didn't see what's wrong with that. Like, I didn't see what's so wrong with me enjoying myself and living a lifestyle that I've always wanted, because she did try the, you know, the good way, but she got fucked over by her manager. She went to law school, she did all these things, she's so brilliant, she's so smart, yet like she got an internship at this amazing place. A lot actually happened at this office as well. Someone got sued for sexual assault. So you should, if you're thinking that, but so you should definitely watch this. Like, it's a very interesting story about a woman who's just doing what she wants to do and fuck the world. She does do things and puts herself in harm's way, and she kind of does get like repercussions, I guess, because she literally had to put her life was literally in danger because of this guy, who I guess he was just angry at her and just wanted revenge, and he literally ruined her life. It was so weird going back home for her. Like, there were discussions about what she'd do as a family. I think she pretty much just ended up losing her family in a weird way. Like, things were kind of awkward. Obviously, she still has them in her life, but it's not the same, you know? But it just seems like at the end, she was at peace with that, and that's okay. And yeah, it's a really good watch. I'd like to know how that ended for her, you know? Like, remember when we were at uni and we had these separate conversations about doing certain things for certain reasons and how it seems so glamorized and everything. But in this, they don't really glamorize it. They make it very mundane and very normal, you know? Mm. There's no, there was Chanel bags and gifts and stuff, but that wasn't the main thing about this film. You're entirely focused on this one woman, and it's just great. It's her story, and she's telling it to you however she wants to. And yeah, you also meet other incredible women as well, and other very infuriating type of women that you definitely meet in the real world. Women who don't really back up other women, you know? Women who, I guess, they live through such insane, patriarchal world, that they just follow the rules now. They're like, they're also now playing the games rather than trying to beat the game or trying to be better than, you know, the men that do things. They just go with it and they go with the flow. So yeah, you meet a lot of different type of women. Watch it, great film, and that's it. What's next? Oh, Love Island is next, isn't it?
Yes, Love Island.
Right, so I don't really care for Love Island right now. It's reached that point where I'm gonna jump in when they start tossing people out.
Oh, my dearest Ekansu, there's a new girl. I think her name is Natalia, and she's giving Ekansu a run for her money because she's onto Davide, and Ekansu's not on for it.
Obviously,
but yeah. No, it's just so much drama. They had yesterday night. They had a competition to see who made the best pancakes, and Davide had to be the taster and pick a winner.
They're asking for trouble. Nah, Maybe I should watch it.
Yeah, that was yesterday's episode. It was interesting. It was interesting.
We haven't, well, I guess that's an update. Dami, I feel like I really liked that people showed him that he ain't shit, and we're not voting for him, we're voting for India, so you best recognize, you know? I love that.
Dami has really done India wrong. His sentence, and you could get India back from after CASA and everything I've done. Like this.
Like, and it's the way he speaks about these things as well, so nonchalantly. And it's like, this guy, like, he has no respect, you know? You know, like, there's certain people that when they're rude, it's okay because they're cheeky about it. And, like, they have, like, charisma and, like, you know, people are just drawn to them because they're funny, they're fun, they're bubbly. He don't give me that impression. He gives me, like, he's a neek. Like, honestly, like that. He annoys me so much. It's so annoying. How my tune has changed. Wow. I was on the Dami train, but he's ruined it.
It did start off, like, really good. Like, with him and Amber... We all thought Amber was a problem. But now Amber's gone. She ain't the problem.
She ain't the problem. He's so definitely the problem. The little shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that Amber knows his type, you know? I feel like that's what happened. Like, Amber knew he was all about the fun. And she was like, so I'm going to keep my cards open. It's so sad she left early because I felt like didn't get to experience the real Amber. But, like, that's okay. Maybe, like, Adam Collard, she'll come back. Which, I know that's another thing I'm looking for. Like, why the fuck is he back?
Bombshells. As I said, the series has literally, the male species that they've brought on have not been doing it for me.
They've not been it. No, they've not. Oh, you know who also infuriated me? Josh. Is it Josh? Josh, or is his name Jack? The one that what's her name?
Ash.
Danica.
Oh, Danica.
Yeah, and then he broke up with her and then moved to Summer. Him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He gave me like Ikenna 2.0. It was just there for vibes. It was just there to enjoy himself and just like chill because he was like, oh yeah, I'll talk to her like as a friend. I'm like, nah, once a guy says as a friend, it's the end. Oh, you know who else also is annoying me? Billy. The whole situation with Billy. Really?
Yeah, Billy's gone.
I'm like, yeah, he's gone. They chose to save Dami instead, yeah. He annoys me. Basically,
he did Danica wrong. Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that he did anything wrong. I think his attitude to when she was confronting him was what I had an issue with. Like, he kept, like, not baiting her, but he just kept, like, making digs, like, unnecessary digs. And I was like, ugh, ew. Like, just stop it. Big boy like yourself. Just let the girl vent. Like, clearly, you could tell that people were gassing her up to come talk to him, like, actually vent and say her mind. Why egg her on? Like, why make her irate? Like, why keep saying no? So why shouting? Why are you upset? Why, like, don't do that. Like, just speak like a normal person, prick. Anyways. Is there anything else you want to say about the Madden? How about the boys, the bombshell boys? Because clearly one of the girls, she's doing her, you know, she's doing her job. Like, Ekisi was doing her job. How about the boys?
The boys, they're very meh as well.
Can you imagine?
Like, they're so meh, I can't remember their names. See, I remember Natalia's name because she was impactful. But the guys, I'm like, I don't remember.
What, none of them picked, like, Hayes to talk to, or, like, none of them picked the Owens girl, what's her name? Or maybe, like, Tasha.
I think that they tried, but they really ain't getting far. I mean, Danica picks one of the new boys, and then at the end, it was Natalia and one of the new boys, so it's just those two left. So, as I said, they really didn't make an impact to sway anyone's mind, to sway anyone's opinions from their relationship.
It's also weird that they brought in, like, bombshells, like, 2 weeks before the end as well. Like, literally, it ends, like, in the first week of December, of August, sorry. So, like, do they think that people are going to take a risk when it's so close to the end and, like, leave their partners? Like, impossible.
I think drama. Natalia has stood up drama, but the boys aren't still in a drama. Because the people, that the reviews have been saying to ITV, like, this series has had the least drama as possible. So I think the idea was to bring in people to have drama and then kick them out soon after.
Fair enough.
I
wanted to discuss Coco.
Coco is
you were saying the only person that's done that is James or Greg, the one that won the down bar. Was I what you were going to say?
Mm-mm, I don't know. What about Coco?
No. You were going to say something before I brought up Coco.
Oh, I said the only people having drama are the girls. The guys are not getting anything.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on to the next segment, which is
Reddit. It's the Reddit.
Well, mini mind blowers, weekly mini mind blowers. We're actually meant to do that. Are there any news apart from Boris being tossed out? Rishi Sunak. Cyborg Rishi might be our new prime minister. I don't want the woman to go. No, I know I'm a woman.
Liz Truss to win.
Liz is a bit extreme. Eh? She's going to be Margaret Thatcher 2.0. I don't want her. Oh my God, I really don't. I know she's a woman and I should back my woman, but I don't know. I'm not even glad that the Conservatives have been ruling this country for the past like 12 years or whatever. I'm definitely not happy about that.
Fair enough. Yeah. Interesting. My it might be old news, but I still think it's mad.
What?
So Elon, not yet.
Oh my God, his dad. Oh, disgusting.
Confirms second child with his 35-year-old stepdaughter.
He's like 80 or something. Men are trash.
What they have from him, the quote they have for him, the only thing that we are on this earth for is to reproduce. And I was like, this actually feeds into like Elon Musk's like mindset of him and his multiple children from different people. Like this is where his philosophy came from. He saw his dad looking around. It's like, me too. I want to fuck around. Literally.
Honestly. I think, I don't know. I mean, I understand that they're all family.
It's just daughter. Like, someone you watch grow up and raise as a child.
Incestual, isn't it? It's so,
it's not even a fact that it's...
Like, for the time that we're living right now, it's just so odd. Yeah,
the age difference is not what gets me. It's the fact that it's his stepdaughter. That's the part that gets me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the age.
By the by. I mean, what are we going to hear now that Elon's done the same thing?
Elon must have not had a stepdaughter yet. I think all the women he's dated have been single.
Imagine if, like, Jason Momoa starts to date Zoe Kravitz. Ugh.
Very wrong.
That's literally it, isn't it? That's literally it. That's gross. That's actually gross. One thing I saw is there's a woman trending on TikTok who was like, abortion is worse than slavery. I don't think I sent it to you.
No, you haven't, but I don't know what she means by abortion worse than slavery.
Yeah, abortion is the number one worst human rights issue ever. I don't know. How about the life of the woman and her state of being? Does she, you know, there was a law, I heard about a law that might be put in some random place. Honestly, America is a weird place. In America, where if the life of the mother and the life of the child is in,
yeah, they'll say the child's life or the mother's life.
Yeah, then the mother's life. I'm like, I'm sorry, someone who actually has connections with other humans in the world and a baby that nobody knows apart from the parents. I'm sorry. Okay, that's an insensitive way to put things, but I don't know.
Honestly, I don't know what people are thinking in this day and age. That's like manslaughter right there.
Right?
Manslaughter.
I don't know how I feel. Also, there's another story that I saw.
Actually, I'll even put it up.
Huh?
I said I'd actually put it up to murder because you knowingly kill someone. It's not accidental. You knowingly.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're choosing. Well, I guess you do have to choose sometimes, though. Like, you remember in Grey's
Anatomy? Yeah. But in those situations, the mother had given consent that should this happen, do X, Y, Z, or should this happen, I want my husband to choose. So it's not them going out.
There's actually a law saying that kill the mother, save the child. Yeah. You're taking away the choice from people.
Because in those situations, the mother's like, if this happens, I give autonomy to my husband to choose. So it's not on the doctor or the nurses to decide whether to kill someone or not.
True.
Or which one is more important.
I agree. Okay, there's a statement that I want to read out to you and get your opinion. Yeah. It's something that I saw online. So it's not selfish not wanting kids. Not wanting kids, though. There are many reasons someone don't want them, and sometimes the easiest thing to do is say that they lack their freedom. I could not love a child the way they deserve to be loved, and I don't see this society to be around for very long, so I ain't bringing no kids into this world just to see it crumble. And yes, I do indeed love myself. I do indeed love my life the way it is. If that's selfish, then I'm selfish. This is a comment based off of the government wanting to introduce a thing to tax women who have no children, which is actually another article, mind-boggling, that I wanted to talk about as well.
In America?
In
America.
No, is it in America?
I hope it's America because I'm crazy. UK.
I'm pretty sure. So basically the article that I read is a Glamour article. It goes, first we're told we're selfish for wanting children. Now we're being told we should tax the child free. As women, we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. Quite literally. So there was this guy, there was an article, I think, on Sunday Times. So I guess that's the US, that included, I think it was a viral car last week, I don't know, whatever it was. It was like, should we tax the childless?
Of course not.
So, okay, the article that I read was, perhaps the most shocking thing about the Sunday Times rage-inducing viral masterclass, should we tax the childless, is that this proposition is among the paper's least dystopian suggestion as to how to tackle the UK's decline in birth rate. So it is the UK. Alternative headlines, shocking but also accurate, could include Father of the Nation, why Boris Johnson should be an example to us all, British wombs for British babies, why we need homegrown bin men, or population planning, did Mussolini have the right idea? Last weekend, Dr. Paul Morland of the University of Oxford argued that if we ladies don't start popping out more babies, there'll be no one to staff his care home who speaks with a British accent. So the government must, among many, many other measures, set some national goals for population growth and have an apolitical agency to monitor them, similar to the Office for Budget and Responsibility. Adapt a grow your own policy where nearly 30% of births in the UK are now mothers. Oh, okay, so it's like adapt your grow your own policy where because nearly 30% of births in the UK are now born to mothers born overseas, and now to mothers born overseas, create a pronatal culture, including a national day to celebrate parenthood and a telegram from the Queen whenever a family has a third child. Public figures can lead the way with words and actions. The Prime Minister, with his 7 known offsprings, has a track record in this regard. And the... Oh my God. Introducing a negative child benefit tax for those who do not have offsprings. This may seem unfair on those who can't or won't have children, but it recognises that we all rely on there being the next generation and that everyone should contribute to the cost of generating that generation. This particular article goes on. If I get the chance, I will put this in the link for the pod when it comes out. But basically, the buy all of this is saying that we need more British babies and we don't need to hire from international countries. And I think it's such a fucked up way. There was also another
article. It's getting racist.
It really is given racist, isn't it? There's, you know what's interesting? A study has already, or someone actually wrote a paper on this, an American guy wrote a paper on this, about how, like, the babies that are going to be born in the future, so around this time, are all going to be immigrant parents and not American kids. So here's what they can do. They can room in the Black community, room in this community, room in that community, get them to all hate each other and have more British and have more American. That was literally what he said, pretty much. And I'm just thinking, all these scientists, they're fucked in the head, aren't they? They really are. They really, really are. Okay, because this is someone who's gone to Oxford. You think they have reasoning skills, but they have reasoning skills, but they don't have interpersonal skills. Because the fuck? Who comes out and says dumb shit like this and says, okay, especially in the time that we live in, you can't even afford to have one child, much less three. Only people like Boris Johnson can have 7 kids because he's rich.
And he can afford to.
Thank you so much. He can afford to. Like, electricity bills are going up by an insane amount of money. Like, in winter, the cost of living is still going up. Is that 50% or something?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time where you want people to keep having more kids. You're not raising, you're not increasing people's pay. You're not increasing the living wage. If anything, you're taxing us more because the NHS needs more money. I don't understand these people. You're telling us that the NHS is, what's the word that they like to use? It's under pressure because there's a lot of people. But now you also want to create a lot of people that the NHS will not be able to care for. What? Make it make sense. Make it make sense. You're going to have to tax people more. Now you're even talking about taxing people who don't.
What I also heard this week on the, I don't know if I was watching The Economist or listening to The Economist or something. It talks about how in the UK, more people are opting for private care over the NHS just because they don't.
I saw that. They don't trust the NHS.
Or the care they...
because you're being put on a waiting list,
the stress is coming from. Because if people are going to like private hospitals, where's the stress coming from?
Yeah, it's increased by 30% according to the thing that I read. 30% private, the sorting after of private care has gone up by 30%.
Mm.
That's insane. That is insane. Anyways, it's an interesting state of affairs where the UK has found itself right now. But yeah. And that right there is the end of Mini Blind Mind Blowers, right? Weekly Mini Mind Blowers. Okay, so which one would you like to read first?
This one seems silly. Am I the arsehole because I want?
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
I thought you wanted me to start, right?
Yeah, I did.
Am I the arsehole because I want my wife to drink my tea less? So, like any family, we drink more than just water. My wife buys Crystal Light to put in her water, buys those sugar-free carbonated ice drinks, currently has 2 Olipop sodas in the fridge. and some ginger ale. I don't like carbonated drinks, so I really just stick to water and tea. We buy bottles of the Japanese tea drinks as well as when I can find it. A milk tea drink that is relatively rare to find. This is my favorite tea treat drink. My wife has full range of other drinks in the fridge, including my tea, but she gets very mad at me when I ask her to save the milk tea for me. Though I'm not really enforcing any kind of hard rule, and I always let her have a few sips when I get a glass if she doesn't have one as well. Today, when I got home, I could see she had a glass of it, and she left it in the container. And then just now, she just asked me to get another glass of it. I said she's drinking more of it than I am, and she absolutely raked me over the coal for it, calling me selfish and a brat, that she likes it too, and that I can't have it all to myself. I feel like she has all these drinks, and I really only have the teas, and one that we can't stock with any kind of frequency. That is my favorite soft drink. She has already drank about two to three times more of the tea in a carton than I have. Am I unreasonable about this, or should she be more receptive to my request? Well. I sort of get it. I sort of do. I can't lie. There are certain things that I hold and behold to myself as these are mine. I get that I have to share. But if we have to share, you must take the bare minimum.
No, I'm
petty,
certainly. I'm
but
just sending you.
it is.
I'm just sending you a link to the thing itself, the actual thing, so you can read the comments too if you want.
Yeah, call me selfish, but it is what it is. I get the husband's point of view. Like, there's some things, like, as he said, that's his one favorite drink, and it's rare to get that kind of thing. Like, for me, it's the rose green tea. Unless I'm in Birmingham, unless I'm in Leicester, I really can't stock up on it in Sheffield. So, when I do have it, I cherish it because it's the only thing I do have. We have other kinds of green tea, but it's only one rose green tea you can ever buy. And you
Yeah.
have to, there's specific shops that sell them, so it is what it is. I get it. I'm not even gonna judge him. I don't think he's an arsehole because I did the exact same.
Okay, so if you read just further down, his wife has commented, the actual guy, the guy's wife.
Which one's her?
She's the one highlighted in red, the far violinist 2296.
Oh, okay. Hey, wife in question here. This tea was a rare find for many years, but we have currently found a reliable source where we can go to anytime and restock. Out of the three bottles, I have had 4 8-ounce glass of his precious damn tea. He is being a brat. Edit. I have drank more than of this particular, about 1.5 bottle liter bottle, than he has a bit. That's because one, I was at home today suffering from atrocious morning sickness, and two, he wasn't home, so tough titties.
I think this wife is actually rude. She's mocking it. She's mocking it. She's mocking it. She
She
said,
said
"Wrong." Nah,
tough titties. That's what she said.
Oh my God. Okay, now I get it. She's actually pregnant, so like she's having cravings, and these are just, I think. In a way, she's right that he is being a bit of a brat, but she can also understand how annoying it is because this is one thing that's his, you know? And now she's taking it. Like, imagine, like, someone, you introduce someone to something, and like, all of a sudden, it's now their thing. And you're just thinking, the fuck? Like, who are you? And now you're drinking my tea more than wow. Is that what we're doing? Yeah? Is that what we're doing now? We're just taking people's things, yeah? But the
Yeah,
fact that they're married is what
I
makes
think they
it
should just
funnier.
like stop buying other teas and just buy his favorite kind of tea. Because if that
Right?
is
Because
her
they
true craving,
drink
he should
it.
just like buy double everything so that way he can't get mad
He
because
can't
you
come,
have his
exactly. She's just buying it.
share and he have
Okay.
hers. Yeah.
Honestly, you can solve this by just buying more. Like, it's not that deep. Like, relax.
It's not that deep, but yeah, I do get it. I was like, if it wasn't me, I get it. My things are mine.
Like,
Okay.
he's been branded an asshole as well, and I just feel sorry for the poor guy because I don't necessarily think
But
he's
no,
an
I don't think it's an
asshole.
arsehole. I think it's a human emotion. I'm gonna put it as it's a human thing to have. It's a human response. I'm not gonna put that as being an arsehole.
Okay, speaking of, I'm trying to stick to the tea theme here. Am I the asshole for choosing to go to a tea ceremony instead of my stepsister's graduation? All I will say about myself is that I'm a girl who loves to learn about Japanese culture, specifically yokai. I joined an anime club after school and have enjoyed it very much. But the last day, we are doing a Japanese tea ceremony in which I will be making the tea. I'm very passionate about any kind of tea as it is my favorite drink ever. Coincidentally, my stepsister's 8th grade graduation is on the same day and around the same time. My parents told me I can go to the ceremony, but it is very selfish of me to do so. I might be also here. I'll send you the link to that as well, so that you can see what I've seen. So do you think she's an asshole?
What, for going to a different tea party?
Yeah. I don't think she's an asshole.
It's only 8th grade.
Oh my God, I was just gonna say that. It's literally 8th grade, like it's not the end of
I was looking
the
at it, I was
world.
like, graduation, okay, I get
Relax.
graduation. And then I put 8th, I was like, you're talking about like a 12-year-old.
I'm also going to assume, yeah, that like after the graduation they're gonna have like dinner or like go and celebrate or whatever. So if I don't make it for the actual graduation, I'll make it for the dinner after I've gone to my tea thing. So relax, man.
Yeah. Was it 8th grade? I get it, it's a graduation, but it's only 8th grade. It's only 8th grade.
Literally, it's not that deep. Like it's never that deep. Should we just stick to the thing of teas? Because I have one for tutors as well. But I'm liking this tea theme that we've got going on. I've sent you a new one.
Okay, am I the arsehole for the cups of tea my mum makes? We're British. Strong start. I'm a tea drinker. Stereotype is true. However, my mum keeps making me cups of white tea despite me being lactose intolerant. And there being no oat milk in the fridge, I ran out a couple of days ago. There's plenty of fruit teas in the kitchen. I'm willing to drink black tea, but she keeps making white ones. Sometimes I'll drink them to be polite, but it makes me uncomfortable. I'm bloated, farting constantly, and get horrible reflux. When I don't want to put up with this, I won't drink it. I have lactase tablets, but they need to be taken half an hour before eating dairy and can only be taken twice a day. I save them for planned meals and desserts. I get a flack off mum either way. What a phrase. She
It's
comes
actually,
from
yeah,
like
it's a thing. It's a way, like
I read that twice because I was like, well, excuse me.
I get flack off mum either way. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She complains about the smell of it if I drink she complains about the smell if I don't drink cow's milk
If I do
white
drink
tea,
coffee.
but she calls me rude if I don't. Am I the arsehole for prioritizing my comfort over politeness? No,
Absolutely not.
you're lactose intolerant. Like, what else can you do? You
If
have to
anything, be
limit
your
your
mom's
dairy as much as
asshole,
possible.
right?
Yeah, because she knows she got an like it's an actual health issue, and she's making you do something like contradicts your health.
No, the mom's a prick.
Yeah, you're not an
To be fair,
arsehole for wishing to drink your milk with oat milk, or to drink black tea or fruit tea instead of milk with cow's milk.
100%. And the thing is, like, she farts, and the mom complains all the time about her farting, and yet she's feeding her the thing that makes her fart. Like, make it make sense, man. Okay, last one. And then it's actually, well, last one, hopefully. I'm only asshole for not making my girlfriend tea. I was visiting my girlfriend today. All she'd do was do some, what the f honestly, I'm sick of it.
What he
I'm
does.
sick of it. Anyway.
I actually don't know what children's saying. Ignore me.
All she does was do some schoolwork, being dramatic because she's on her period. She gets cranky, and I don't like dealing with her drama at this time. She's got a heating pad on and hasn't left bed all day. She asked for tea because she's feeling cold. I was playing video game and didn't want to. What? How old are these people? So I ignored her. She eventually comes out wrapped in a blanket like some sort of dramatic 18th century princess. I rolled my eyes and say, why are you such drama? Oh my God. This is a child. She asked me why am I single? I got pissed and left. What?
I don't get
it. I don't get it either. I'm not putting up with her.
Why am I not with her attitude? So, are they not together? But you just called her your girlfriend.
I don't know. I'm not putting up with my attitude with her attitude anymore. I went to my mom's house, and my mom told me to do better because I'm going to be single for my whole life if I act like this. I'm not babying my girlfriend when she's acting like this. And my mom ignored me and said she's not babying me when I act like how I act. When I act like how I am. First things,
this is not really well.
And why are you single is her breaking up with him, I think. And he is definitely the asshole. And it sounds like
he only asked for tea. Didn't say go to the shop and do XYZ. She just said, right. Come downstairs, come kill off.
I'm not even asking you to go get me ice cream now. At like 6 in the morning or like, you know, midnight. So relax. And he clearly doesn't know like how insane periods actually gets, and like your hormones and how they fluctuate and stuff, and how they affect you. Because he doesn't even realize how his hormones affect him either. So I don't even have an opinion. I don't care. This is very stupid. I wasted my last rubbish. Can I do another one, please? This was so short. Thank you. My partner and myself have been dating for the last 2 months. Things have been going fantastic. Some of my anxieties have been challenged, and I saw success in some areas. She's leaving town for 4 days with her friends to go partying. It's not that I mind if she parties, but the friend she's going with is recently single and has not left and right. I know I have issues with insecurities with my past relationships and cheating. She's given me so many reasons that she's really into our relationship, but that doesn't help the anxiety of her going out of town for 4 days to party. She's very sociable and a natural flirt. That gets exasperated when, I think he means exaggerated, when drinking.
Yeah, he definitely is exaggerated.
Naturally, she doesn't text when she's out. I usually don't hear from her until the next day. Any personal advice that I can reflect on, to bring up the topic, I think is what he means there. That doesn't come off as me being controlling. I'm not dictating how she goes out with friends, but I want to tackle my personal insecurities. TLDR, partner going to another city to party with friends for a few days. How can I overcome my insecurities during her time out? So this is not am I the asshole, this is relationship advice in the Reddit, by the way. What do you think you should do there? What do you reckon? I think it's been 2 months, so chill. But also, it's trauma, right? It's just a traumatic response to his past relationships. So how can he kind of navigate that? He just has to put, there's literally nothing you can do apart from just trust her. Because even if she ends up cheating, you still can't do anything. The roles were reversed, she can't do anything. She's just going to have to trust him and let him go when he's last holiday.
Yeah, I think it's how to accept that. Not accept that it's a possibility, but just if it happens, it happens. He just has to move on.
Yeah, and is he actually able to give her that trust that is definitely required in the relationship? But I also think he needs to go to therapy rather than go on Reddit and ask me what the opinions are. Or maybe he should post this on the subreddit for the therapist. I'm sure there's one out there. And, oh my God, interesting. I should do it. Ask Reddit for therapists. I'm going to go search. That's going to be entertaining for a while. Sorry. I think that's all the time we have, right? That's pretty much it.
Yep, that is it.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like the people to know?
The people to know? What else should you know? I think we've done everything for today, have we? Right?
Yeah, I think so. I've pretty much covered everything that I want to talk about. So, okay, Jackie, this has kind of been a really chill and very somber recording. I don't really know why. I know why.
What, you haven't had coffee yet? Green tea?
Well, probably that. But still, I feel like my headspace is kind of jumbled at the moment as well. So it doesn't really help, does it?
I hear that.
Yeah. But anyways, but at least we're recording for you guys, so you know, you get that. Also, there's actually exciting news that I want to share, but that's coming later. And I actually want to tell you before I actually say it on here so that you are aware as well. So there's that too. I have been your unfortunately slightly underpowered host, Uchenna.
I've been Cherway. Low energy, but you get what you get. Not being rude, but you get what you get.
We'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.